Well, good morning. I'm glad you're here, Lucian.
Amen.
I ain't got to send this to you by recording because they've been few and far between.
Right.
But I do appreciate the recording, folks. But I am more appreciative of the fact that you're here.
Yeah.
And you're all here. And we're all here together. If you will, turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 says, O foolish Galatian, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you are now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In ye shall all nations be blessed. So then they which are of faith, they which be of faith, are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirm, no man disannulleth or addeth thereunto. Now to Abraham and his seeds, where is the promise made, he saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and of thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of non-effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of the transgressions, till the seed should come, of whom the promise was made. And it was ordained of angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could give life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scriptures have concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believeth. But before faith came, there we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus, and if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That promise there being a key word. God, before the foundation of the world, God, before any of us have any understanding of what took place, God and Christ and the Holy Spirit made a covenant between Himself. If you remember the covenant that He made with Abraham, He says, go put the heifer over here and put the pigeons over here and put the sheep over here, and you divide it all up. And all that day, Abraham worried himself trying to keep the flies and the birds and everything else away from it, until one day, 1 hour, that Abraham finally passed out, fell asleep, and God walked amongst the sacrifice and made the covenant with Himself, because He was the only one able, because Abraham was sound asleep. God made the promise, and because God is immutable, because God is unchangeable, because God cannot change His promises, when God has made the promise, everything by promise will come to effect. It says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, whose eyes, Jesus Christ, have been evidently set forth crucified among you? In other words, the Savior came. The Savior was crucified. The Savior shed His precious blood. And now you're going to go, and we've been studying this in Hebrews, now they're going to go back to trying to do things by the law, by the letter of the law, instead of trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Instead of trusting in the promise of Christ. All who believe in Christ are saved by faith, not of works. We get so into ourselves, and I don't want to try to say that we ought not be sinless or try to be not sinful or try to not do things we ought not be doing, but we get so into this thing that we become legalistic if we don't watch out. We become so enamored with right things, dotting the T's, crossing the I's, did I put on my shirt right, did I eat the right food, did I do the right things, did I say my prayers correctly. We get so enamored in what we did, we forget about the fact that Christ saved us by grace. Saved us through faith. We saved us, if we're a believer, if we're ever going to be a believer, He saved us just because He wanted to, according to His promise, to His Son, what He would do if His Son did what He did, and He did. It says here, this only will I learn of you. Received you ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith? The works of the law beat me down. The works of the law showed me how unrighteous I was. The works of the law did not bring me to Christ. The works of the law brought me to my hopelessness, my worthlessness, my ungodliness. He said, did you get this by the Spirit? Or did you get this by the works of the law? He says, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you are made perfect in the flesh? Let's see. Can I add to what Christ did? No. Can I pump up what He did? No. Is there anything that I can do about what Jesus Christ did on that cross, during that sinless life, during that perfect thing that He did with God? Is there anything that a sinful, wicked, ungodly person could add to what Jesus did? And the answer is no. So why do we try to do that? Why do we get sideways and try to impress other folks by being holier than thou, or self-righteous, or more like the Pharisees, or, oh, we're better than you, bro. I fast 3 times a week, and I do this, and I do that. And look at this guy. Why do I do that? Who am I impressing with that? No one. Said, have you suffered so many things in vain that you be not vain? He therefore that ministereth you the Spirit, worketh He miracles among you? Doth He do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? In other words, did the apostles come to you with some kind of legal system? No. Did the miracles they do come by doing following some kind of rule or regulation or whatever? No. The apostles came doing miracles and things by the hearing of faith. When that crippled man was on the porch, he said, I perceive you have faith to be healed in the name of Jesus. Get up.
He doesn't, no, wait, did you make your sacrifice this morning? Did you say your alms this morning? Did you do what you're supposed to do this morning? No. He said, I perceive that you have the faith to be healed. And he reached down and his bones was immediately strong enough that he stood up and leaping and hopping and praising God. He went into the temple. Not by legalism, not by law, but by the name of Jesus Christ. Even Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now people always, well, Abraham was a Jew. He wasn't a Jew right there. He was a Gentile right there. When God preached the gospel to Abraham, he was uncircumcised. He was undone. He was unright. Says, but even Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. If you will believe God's testimony of Jesus Christ, it will be accounted to you for righteousness. You see, to believe in Christ, you must believe God said what He said and did what He did. It's a matter of believing what God said. It's a matter of saying, God, You said He's Your Son. God, You said He's the one. God, You said, I believe God. Therefore, if I believe God, I must believe in Jesus Christ. Way back there when it says, and Abraham believed God, it doesn't mean that he said, well, God, yep, You're God. No, God preached the gospel to Abraham. It says so. It says that Abraham heard the gospel. God was preached the gospel. Abraham heard the seed, the Savior was coming, and he believed the gospel. It says the Scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. That's me. I'm a heathen. I was a heathen. I am a heathen. I'm still a heathen. Except I'm a saved heathen. I'm a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
Says, I am a heathen. And I was justified by faith. Not anything I've done. Not the fact that I cleaned up my act. Not the fact that I started reading the Bible. Not the fact that I started coming to church. But because at one point, someplace along the line, I heard the gospel of God, and He gave me the faith to believe and receive. I know that's hard for somebody to get a hold of. God, save me. God, give me the faith to believe. God came into me and said, you hear the words? I said, yes, I hear them. And I believe them. And I'm ashamed of myself because now I see what I am. It says here, gospel of it. And He justified the heathen by faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. In other words, yes, the seed, Jesus Christ, is preached the gospel unto all nations. And all who are to believe, the foolishness of the preaching that was talked about earlier, all who believe that preaching about a Savior dying on a cross, that preaching about a Savior who was sinless, holy and perfect. All those who believe that He came and died for them are saved. It says, so then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. In other words, every single one of us are saved by the very same grace. We're saved by the very same faith. We've talked before at different times about increasing faith and doing this. Jesus says, and one time His disciples said, Jesus, increase our faith. He didn't turn around and tell them how to do that. He just told them how little their faith was. If you had the faith of this, you could make this mountain go into here. And you had the faith of that, you could make this mustard tree do that. He didn't say, well, I'm going to tell you the secret to increasing your faith. We were all given faith according to how God wants us to do things. You really read this thing. Each one of us received the amount of faith that we need to do the things God has called us out to do. I have never walked on water. But Peter had enough faith to get out and walk on water. Different ones of us have been called out by different things for God to do. I don't plan on being stuck on a stake and burned. But there have been men and women who have been burned at the stake. God gave them the faith to stand there and be burned and glorify God at the very same time it was going on. I don't know that I have that. And of course I would say that if the day comes up, God will give me what I need at that time. For as many
as are of the works of the law, are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If I'm going to stand up and try to get justice by saying, God, I have never mistreated my mom and dad. I have never stole. I have never lied. I have never done all this. I have never committed adultery or fornication or covetousness or any of those kind of things that the law talks about. I have never. The book says, if I have never at that point, I better never be able all through the rest of my life. I better never. Because the very moment that I tell a story, the very moment that I look at someone the wrong way, the very moment that I covet after something that I ought not have, the very moment that I did that, then not only did I break that very law, but I broke the whole law in totality. It says here, for as many who is of the works of the law are under the curse. In other words, if I'm going to say I'm going to keep all the law, then I have to keep all the law continually forever. I'd have to be really deceived to think that I could do that. I'd have to really be full of my self-righteousness to even think that I could do that. That would be a Pharisee among Pharisees to think, I have kept all the law. Look at me compared to him. There's a problem though. He said, compared to him. I am not like this man, but am I like that man? That's the comparison right there. Am I like Jesus? Am I as righteous as Jesus? Am I as holy as Jesus? Because he kept all the law. It says, cursed is every man, one that continueth not in all things which are written in the law of the books of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. In other words, even if a man was a really, 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 really good guy, and there are some out there that are really, there's some out there that have been a whole lot better than us, better than me for sure. But if he tries to get there without Jesus Christ, he's still a failure. You see, it says, but no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Even if there were a man who did super duper good, in the eyes of God, he still is fallen because he fell back there in Adam. He still has that sin nature that he was given way back there in Adam. So even if he doesn't sin according to what Adam's sin was, he's still a sinner. But no man is justified by the law by the sight of God. It is evident that the just shall live by faith. I don't live because I have super duper cleaned up my life. Because the closer I seem to get to God, the more of a mess I see to see myself. And the more I try to purge things out, the more I seem like things keep just bombarding me to try to show me just how undone I am. It says here in the Bible, it says that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident that the just shall live by faith. I'm living by the fact that Jesus Christ paid for my sins. Not me. I didn't change my sins. Jesus Christ came in and made a new creation inside of me. Jesus Christ changed me at the quickening, at the new birth, when he born me again from above. I had nothing to do with that. I just received it and said, thank you, God, for saving my soul. It says here, the just shall live by faith. In other words, I don't live by the fact that I'm now a good law keeper, because I see by trying to keep the law, I'm still a good failure at that. But I live by the fact that I'm a believer in the fact that Jesus Christ did keep that law. Jesus Christ did finish the work. Jesus Christ did please God. Jesus Christ justified me by faith in him and his shed works that he did on the cross. It says, and the law is not of faith. Proving that I'm a believer now by trying to keep the law immaculately does not have faith in it. It doesn't show faith. It shows a reformation, a trying to do things differently. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. In other words, the law is not of faith, but because I am saved, the new laws are written in my heart, the things are in my spirit to do, And I thank God for 1 John chapter verse 9 or whatever it is, where it says, when I sin, if I confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, because I am still a sinner. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. You see, I couldn't do that for myself. I couldn't go to God and say, look, I cleaned up my act. I've straightened myself up. It says Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Christ paid the price. Christ did all the sacrifice. Christ did all the work. Christ has saved me, redeemed me, bought me back from the curse of the law being made a curse for me. While He was on that tree, He became sin. He became my sin. He became your sin. He became every believer's sin on that tree while He was hanging there. And as we've talked before, I believe even before He got to the tree, while He was even at the garden, when He was sweating them great drops of blood and fear of God came upon Him, He was being changed even then, because even from the time that they got Him at the garden and took Him all the way through, He never one time justified Himself. He never one time says, well, you know who I am. He told Pilate, you say so. That's what they say I am. If my kingdom were here right now, my angels would come down right now and we'd wipe this place up. He says, He has redeemed me from the curse. He became a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That tree was a very ugly picture of where sin gets judged. That tree is a very ugly picture of where the foul and the ungodly will be judged. It says, He became a curse for us when He was hung on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might become to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The eyes of faith look on Jesus Christ as the finisher of our faith. The eyes of faith see that Jesus Christ not only did it all, He paid it all, but He is the anchor and the finisher of my faith. If He's the beginning of my faith and the end of my faith, where do I add to my faith at? I can't add to my faith, because He's the only one that begins it and He's the only one that finishes it. I just live by faith. The faith that He is the finisher of it. The faith that He is the beginner of it. The faith that He is the one who's going to bring me through all these things, no matter how good or bad or hard they get. He's going to carry me through. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, and I do. I do, after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. In other words, we don't add to the law. In fact, in Revelation it says, blessed man that reads and hears and studies, if it doesn't add to or subtract from the book. It says here, how now to Abraham and his seeds were the promise made. And his seed were the promise made. He saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Abraham saw Christ coming out of his lineage. Abraham was told that in your lineage, in your family, in your seed line, Christ is coming. And that seed that's going to save the world, the seed that's going to save mankind, is the seed, Christ Jesus, the seed. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should be made, should make the promise of non effect. In other words, whatever God has promised, rules, regulations, whatever it takes to keep us in line, to keep us living sort of straight and in a human kind of nature, those laws do not supersede or do never take the promise of God and make it of non-effect. If God said, I will save all those who believe by faith, no laws will ever disannul that promise. No law anywhere, the laws of this government can make all the laws they want to make. The Jews can make all the laws they want to make. Anybody can come up with any rules they want to make, but nothing will ever outdo the promise of God.
Right.
It is that promise that we count on. The fact that God says, all who believe by faith, all who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I have saved. For if the inheritance be the law, be it be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. In other words, if I could get this by doing good, that would throw the promise out the door. If I could get this by keeping the law, it would throw that promise out the door. This says, wherefore they then serve the law, for it was added because of transgression. In other words, men were just sinners from the get-go, so God says, I'm going to show you your sinners. I'm going to show you your need for a Savior. I'm going to make you some laws. You said, that should have made us better, right? Having laws should have made us better? No, having laws made us see what we were great sinners. In fact, in Romans it says it shows us that we were exceeding sinners. The laws show us plainly and openly that we're lawbreakers. I mean, we like laws, and we seem to think we do until that law constrains us, and then we're lawbreakers. It's like the highway laws. We've got the speed limits everywhere that say go this and go that. And I say, oh, that's great. That saves little kids. That does this. That does that. But you give me half a minute, I'll put that pedal to the metal. Because I want to get to where I want to get to. Fastly. We're lawbreakers. And the law was put into action to show us just how exceedingly sinful we are. Till the seed should come of whom the promise was made, and it was ordained of angels and in the hand of a mediator. Now the mediator is not a mediator of one, but of God. In other words, God made this promise, this covenant with himself.
Yeah, that's right.
He didn't come down and say, Charlie, if you'll just strengthen my hand and help me do this thing, we'll make it better. That sounds like some other people. If you'll just let God save you, I'm glad I didn't let God save me. Because if I let him save me, then I could take it back. But God saved me from grace. God saved me through faith. God saved me just because he wanted to. And he didn't come down and say, now I'd like to save you right now. Would you let me save you? He didn't do that. The day he saved me, he broke my heart. The day he saved me, he stomped all over me and showed me what a sinner I was. The day he saved me, he says, you're a lawbreaker and you need grace. That's what he did to me. He didn't come down and plead with me and beg me and say, I'd love to save you, but you've just got to help me. No, he didn't do that. And he's not ever going to. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. The law's not against God saving people by grace. The law helps us to understand just how undone we are. The law shows us just how wicked we are. The law shows us we need a Savior. The law shows us that we need to be under, we need to be obedient to the call. We are responsible, is what the law says. I am responsible to keep the law even if I don't. I was given a law. I was told, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. Did he say all that just so I could go ahead and do it? No. I was responsible to keep the law regardless. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could give life, verily righteousness should have come or had been done by the law. In other words, God would be so much of a tyrant that he put his son on a cross, that he put his son on a tree and made him a curse if we could have kept one single law that could have saved us. If there had been just any law that could have done it, then God was unrighteous to his son. But because no law could save me, because no law could turn me around, because there's no hope outside of Christ, Christ had to go to that tree for me. God forbid. For if there had been a law given that could give life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. That would have been the easier way to do it. That would have been the most simple way to do it. But God doesn't do things simple. He does things to confound the wise, as you said that this morning, and the nobles and all those other folks. God uses the foolishness of this world to bring Himself honor and glory. But the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. I always see that to be as in past tense. Somewhere along the line, God has put belief into people who are going to believe. But it says, to them that believe. The Scripture concluded that all are under sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God, no, not one. We are all undone. We are all ungodly. We are all without Christ. And it says, that by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. For before faith came, faith had to come. These people say, I have faith in faith. I say, you do. Really? You have faith in faith? Well, I have faith in what I believe. Well, what do you believe? And they go on and on and on and on. I'm sitting here before faith came. I didn't have faith in God till that day I got saved. I knew about God. I understood about God. I knew that a man needed to be saved to go to heaven. But I did not have the faith in God to believe that He had saved me. For before faith came, didn't say before I mustered it up, before I figured it out, before I worked it up. It said before faith came, we were kept under the law, and the law makes me a sinner, shut up until the faith which should afterwards be revealed. There was faith in the one who God had promised to save, but until He brings it out, that one who needs to be saved never knows it until that moment that God bestows the knowledge of salvation on them, that God shows the grace unto them, that they are saved by grace through faith in that, not of themselves. It is the gift of God. Until God takes that gift and puts it on them, they never know. Nobody out there, we can't even look out there and say, well, that's one of elect, and that's an elect, and that's an elect. We don't know, and they don't know neither. Nobody could ever swore, in my lost condition, nobody could have ever told me I was an elect of God, because I said, huh? What is that? It meant nothing to me. It says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up until the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith.
Right.
This justification by faith in Christ is the fact that He paid for every single law I broke. I could not do that. I can't even remember most of the laws I broke. I can't even remember back when I was little what things I might have done and put back or reformed and got better at or got worse at. I'm sitting here, when He died on that cross, when God delivered me by showing me what He had done, He paid for every jot, every tittle, every apostrophe, everything in the law that I broke totally. Nothing left for me to fix. Nothing left for me that I could fix. He paid for every single bit. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, bringing us unto Christ, that we might be justified through faith. In other words, that law kept showing me, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. You need a Savior. But after faith came, it's come. But after faith has come, we are no longer under the law. In other words, I'm not going to be held to a legal system. I'm held to a faith system. I'm held to the fact that I believe that Christ has covered it. I believe that Christ is going to continue to cover it until the day He brings me home. I am understanding that I'm still a sinner, saved by grace. But after the faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. In other words, we understand that keeping rules and regulations and laws don't save us. We have the perfect Savior. We have the perfect one. It says, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. By faith in Christ Jesus. I don't try to judge how far along one guy is or another guy is. All I know is if Christ has saved them, He has saved them. For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And that being baptized into Christ means we died to our sins. We rose again. And that's the whole picture of baptism. We died to our sins. We come out of the water. We rise again to newness of life, to walk after godliness. Says there is neither. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. In other words, it says in the Bible many, many, many times, God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't look at your pedigrees or your backgrounds or your genealogy. Every one of us are equal on a standing before Christ Jesus. Every one of us are equal before God because of Christ Jesus. Every one of us can bring our prayers to God. We can bring our supplications to God. We can stand before God and ask what we need to ask. And He doesn't say, wait a minute, I need to wait for this guy to speak first. And how He can see each one of us at one time, each one of us equally at one time, and not put one of us down and one of us over until this other one has done their thing, is an act of God, because God is no respecter of persons. Whether you're the littlest or the biggest, it doesn't matter to Him. He treats every single one of us the very same. It says, neither. We are all one in Christ. And if you be Christ's, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Not according to my works, not according to your works, not according to how we want to add up ourselves against each other, but according to the promise. I am saved by a promise. Jesus Christ says, whom I will, I'll quicken. And I'm glad I was one of the whom He will. I'm glad that God the Father placed me in Christ before the foundation of the world. And if you'll believe in that very same thing, He has placed you in the same promise before the foundation of the world. If you see yourself a sinner, if you see yourself in need of a Savior, you're one of them He's been talking to. When faith comes, then I live by faith and not by works. If God has opened the fact that you need a Redeemer, if God has opened the fact that you need a Savior, it is you He's talking to this morning. He called me out one day. He called you guys out one day. And He's still in the saving business. I can only see if He's still in the saving business because we're all still here. If we were all gone, I'd say, well, He's wrapped it up. He's finished. But undoubtedly, He's still in the saving business. And if He's in the saving business, we're going to still keep preaching the gospel. But I will say, if God has dealt with you, come let us know. If God has saved you, let us know.